Good afternoon. Sorry for the slight delay, but the Secretary-General will now start with his opening remarks, and then he'll be happy to take questions. Secretary-General.
Good afternoon. We have just addressed how our alliance is responding to a changed security environment. Europe is facing the greatest refugee and migrant crisis since the end of the Second World War. Driven by conflict and instability on our southern borders, as well as criminal networks that traffic in human suffering. We have just agreed that NATO will provide support to assist with the refugee and migrant crisis. This is based on a joint request by Germany, Greece, and Turkey. The goal is to participate in the international efforts to stem the illegal trafficking and illegal migration in the Aegean. NATO's standing maritime group 2 is currently deployed in the region under German command. It will be tasked to conduct reconnaissance, monitoring and surveillance of the illegal crossings in the Aegean Sea in cooperation with relevant authorities, and to establish a direct link with the European Union's border management agency, Frontex. As part of the agreement, Greek and Turkish armed forces will not operate in each other's territorial waters or airspace. Our top military commander, Sakur, is now directing the standing NATO maritime group to move into the Aegean without delay and to start maritime surveillance activities. Our military authorities will work out all the other details as soon as possible. And allies will be looking to reinforce this mission. This is not about stopping or pushing back refugee boats. NATO will contribute critical information and surveillance to help counter human trafficking and criminal networks. We will do so in cooperation with national coast guards and working closely with the European Union. We have also decided to intensify intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance at the Turkish-Syrian border. Turkey is on the front line of this crisis, and this will complement the NATO assurance measures for Turkey, which we decided in December. It is important to respond swiftly because this crisis affects us all. And all of us have to contribute in finding solutions. Today, we also agreed to step up our support for the international coalition to counter ISIL. We agreed in principle to use NATO AWACS surveillance planes to backfill national AWACS capabilities. This is in response to the US request. Our military planners are now working out the details. The decision will increase the ability of the coalition to degrade and destroy the terrorist group ISIL, which is our common enemy. Enhanced intelligence and surveillance is a key part of NATO's response to hybrid threats from the south and from the east. We now have a detailed implementation plan for our hybrid strategy. NATO is improving its ability to identify, recognize, and attribute hybrid actions and to respond quickly. We also took steps to increase our allies' resilience in areas that are vital in any crisis. by setting baselines requirements in areas such as continuity of government, energy supplies, food and water resources, telecom and cyber networks, and transportation systems. Resilience is primarily a national responsibility, but both NATO and the European Union have a role in providing tools and advice in specific areas. So, to be more effective in countering hybrid threats, we are committed to working even more closely with the European Union. We also discussed during our meeting today the situation in Afghanistan. Ministers assessed the work of the Resolute Support mission. They agreed that our training, advice, and assistance for the Afghan forces remains essential for stability in Afghanistan. And they confirmed that the mission should continue to be kept under review to ensure its effectiveness. So with this, I'm ready to take your questions.
Okay. We'll go in the front row there.
On the support for the migrants and dealing with that, NATO Standing Maritime Group 2 is moving to the Aegean. Does it need reinforcing? Will other boats be required to go and work where it currently is? And on the question of supporting the US-led coalition, Secretary Carter said you have been discussing how NATO can make an appropriate contribution. What do you think, over and above AWACS, is an appropriate contribution? And why is it being discussed 18 months after the coalition launched?
The standing maritime group, number two, which is in the region, will start to move now. And they will also start to collect information, to do surveillance, and thereby provide important information for the Coast Guards in Turkey, in Greece, and for also other authorities. So this will be something which will come into effect immediately, and where NATO will provide essential information and support. Then we have to work on important issues, and also to clarify some formal issues when it comes to, for instance, sharing information with Frontex, and we have also started that work immediately. The standing maritime group consists today of three ships, but several allies have already announced that they are ready to reinforce this group. So I expect it to be increased in the near future. So this is something we do, and we start to act immediately, but then we have to work on important issues related to, for instance, how we organize the concrete cooperation with Frontex and the European Union. And this is about helping Greece, Turkey, and the European Union with stemming the flow of migrants and refugees and coping with a very demanding situation and helping them to manage a human tragedy in a better way than we have been able to do so far. When it comes to the support of NATO to the counter-ISIL coalition, I think we have to remember that all NATO allies already participate and contribute to the coalition. And for the coalition, it is of great importance the interoperability, the experience which NATO allies have developed over years to work together in military operations, as we now see in Syria and Iraq. And this is also important because many NATO partners are also part of this coalition. So it is a great advantage for the coalition to be able to utilize the experience of NATO allies and partners. Second, NATO is also contributing to the efforts of the coalition to fight ISIL. by our efforts to stabilize countries in the region. We work with Tunisia, we work with Jordan, we do capacity building there, but we also will start very soon training of Iraqi officers. Moreover, I would like to add that what we do in Afghanistan is also relevant, because to keep, to maintain and to continue to support Afghanistan is part of a global effort to fight terror and also to fight ISIL. So now we are looking into how we can step up our support. We will provide AWACS that will increase the capabilities of the coalition to fight ISIL. And we will, of course, assess constantly if we should do more.
Wall Street Journal.
Mr. Secretary General, how, you know, if a NATO vessel was to encounter a ship of migrants, a boat of migrants that was sinking, it would have a legal obligation to rescue those people. How do you make sure that the NATO mission deters crossings as opposed to encourages them? And do you have any more insight into how NATO will attack the smuggling networks, help Turkey break those down?
The important thing here is that what we will do is that we will provide critical information by using our capabilities when it comes to surveillance, reconnaissance, and monitoring the situation, and thereby provide high-quality information to the Coast Guard of Turkey, the Coast Guard of Greece, and also to the efforts of the European Union. This is important, and I think that just our presence and also that we are providing this information will help them and enable them to step up their efforts to cope with the crisis we see in the Aegean Sea. And as I said, we will also increase our surveillance along the Turkish-Syrian border, which is also then a part of this broader picture. We will then sit down with the European Union and to sort out the, more in detail exactly how we can support them. But we will start immediately with moving the standing maritime group under German command into the Aegean Sea and then start to collect information, reconnaissance and surveillance immediately. And I feel very certain that this kind of support to those countries in the regions, in the region which are most affected, and to the European Union, is something they highly value, and is also a response to requests from Greece, Turkey, and Germany.
NPR. Thank you. Terry Schultz with NPR and CBS. Back on the coalition efforts. Before now, you said that because all NATO allies were already members of the coalition, you seem to not feel it was necessary that NATO take a role, that, that joint capabilities were called in into the operation. What has changed now that NATO capabilities, that joint capabilities, are going to be used in for coalition purposes?
Thanks. What we're going to do is that we're going to backfill national capabilities and thereby freeing up capabilities which these nations or the nation can use in the efforts of the coalition. And I think this is a practical, pragmatic way of providing support from NATO to the coalition, enabling them to step up their airstrikes against ISIL and to step up their fight against ISIL. I have, say, all the time underlined the importance of NATO supporting the coalition, but we do that in different ways. When we do defense capacity building for Iraqi officers, then of course that's a part of also that's an element in providing support for the coalition. And I also very much believe that everything we do to project stability into the region by working with partners as Tunisia, Jordan, is also part of supporting the efforts of the coalition. And this is a global coalition fighting ISIL. So also our efforts in Afghanistan are relevant. So it's nothing new that we provide support for the coalition. The new thing is that we will now provide support for the coalition also with making AWACS capabilities available for national backfilling.
CBC.
Thank you. Margaret Evans, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. We have the United States calling for an intensification of the fight against ISIL. NATO is now offering assets, and at the same time, Canada has decided to withdraw its six CF-18 fighters. I wonder if you think that that is the wrong message to be sending right now. Do you worry that other partners might be tempted to do the same?
I met with Minister Sajjan at our or in connection with our ministerial meeting yesterday, and he had a very strong message, and I very much welcome that, about that Canada will remain a very strong and committed member of the coalition fighting ISIL. And Canada provides many different kinds of assets and support for the coalition. And we discussed, for instance, the importance of what Canada is doing and will continue to do, and that is to train and assist local forces. So not least the efforts of Canada to build local capacity to train forces in the region as part of the efforts of the global coalition is something which I welcome very much. So for me, Canada is very clear, the message is very clear, that Canada will continue to support the efforts of the global coalition fighting ISIL.
Okay, one last question here.
Yes, thank you, Secretary General. Let me go back to what you have said yesterday. You announced the largest military build-up of NATO force in the Eastern Europe along the Russian border, and you also have mentioned that that is because you need the alliance to counter any threat. So could you please be more specific? What kind of threat are you talking about, and what kind of scenario does NATO expect? Do you really believe that Russia, for example, can invade Baltic states?
We don't see any imminent threat against any NATO ally, but what we see is a more demanding security environment, both caused by the instability, the violence we see to the south, but also caused by a more assertive Russia in the east, which has invested heavily in defense over many years, which have conducted a wide range of snap military exercises and thereby reducing predictability and transparency, and not least which has been willing to use military force to intimidate neighbors and to change borders in Europe. So it's this pattern and both the challenges to the south and to the east that has required a response from NATO, and we are responding by implementing the biggest reinforcement of collective defense since the end of the Cold War, partly by increased forward presence and partly by increasing our ability to reinforce by, for instance, tripling the size of the NATO response force. So we don't see any imminent threat, but we see a need for adapting to a more challenging security environment, and that's exactly what we are doing.
This concludes this press conference. The Secretary General will be back at around 1400 when he'll be happy to take more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.